So since we want teachings, what we do is when we request teachings from a teacher, the representative of the people who want teachings would come up and offer three prostrations to the teacher. When you offer three prostrations on the floor to your teacher, you are touching three places. I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, in the three jewels. I take refuge in the Supreme Buddha, who has achieved enlightenment, who has the path to show us. I take refuge in the Dharma. The Dharma is what he has spoken and his method. I take refuge in a Sangha. Sangha are people around you who are advanced. And they do more than you. They're less self-absorbed. They're more. And Sangha could be a 16-year-old girl that takes you around, that loves you, cares about you, talks about you, and shares and listens to you. That could be Sangha. So that person who takes care of you, watches you, who cares about you, who gives you some relief, is Sangha. So I take refuge in the Sangha. And when you prostrate to the floor, when you put your forehead to the floor, what you're doing is this. It's not really putting your forehead to the person on the throne. You're putting your forehead to the floor, putting your ego down. Putting your pride down. Putting your wrong views down. Putting your wrong methods down. So when we prostrate to our teacher, it is a very powerful method to destroy one's ego. Do you know why? Because when you prostrate to your teacher represents everything you wish to accomplish. Renunciation, compassion, generosity, wisdom, learning, asceticism, sacrifice, care, genuine compassion with no agenda. You are prostrating to your teacher's qualities. So when you prostrate to your teacher, unless you know you have something wrong with your body, I mean, if you're a paraplegic or, excuse me, Stephen Hawking, you don't expect them to prostrate. You can just simply fold your hands and go like that. That's prostration. When you prostrate to the teacher three times, what you are saying is, I offer my ego and my pride from past, present, and future to my teacher. And I will not challenge you. I will not talk about you. I will not blame you behind your back. I will not question. I will not think negative things. I will surrender to Buddha's teachings. That's after you've checked your teacher out, of course. After. You don't do that and then you find out your teacher is a mobster. You know, on the side, your teacher is a Tibetan gangster. Then you go, oh, too late. I've already prostrated, how? But in my case, you don't have to worry. The worst thing you can find out about me is you catch me at the buffet somewhere. That's the worst thing you'll find about me. I'm not a gangster or anything. Yeah, I like buffets, vegetarian buffets, you know, because eating meat creates the karma to take rebirth as an animal and shorten your life and be unhealthy. Yeah, eating meat creates the karma for you to become unhealthy and sick and shorten your life. Eating meat. Unless the Buddha is wrong. But you can go take it up with him. Okay? Now, after you prostrate to your teacher, after you have prostrated to your teacher, you offer your teacher a mandala. This is represented by this. This mandala represents the different universes that we have in the world. It isn't representing Earth itself. It represents the universes. According to science, in our universe alone, there are 100 million planets that are habitable, that has habitat. So you offer the whole universe to your teacher, and you offer respectfully. So sometimes you think, well, how do I make merit? How do I offer things to my teacher? I'm poor. I make 2,000 ringgits a month, and my rental is 2,000, and I walk here. So what do I offer to my teacher? Well, you can offer a mandala. You don't have to go and buy this. A mandala is from your heart. Okay, so if you walked here, you can offer a mandala. So, hold on, let me put my very supreme pendant away that you guys can take a look at. Here you go. They got caught up in the wire. Would you like to see what kind of pendant I'm wearing so you guys can get one too? Only close people. Now, you offer a mandala to your teacher. You offer the world, the universe, the planets, the sun, the moon, the mountains, the trees, the animals. You offer everything that you like, all the vegetarian restaurants, everything. You don't offer a McDonald's because your teacher don't eat meat. All right, you offer up all these wonderful things to your teacher. Why do you offer symbolically? You're saying, hey, it's empty. I'm not really offering it. You're offering symbolically because realistically you're not able to offer yet because we're quite attached. So you offer up symbolically to create a mind of generosity. Okay? Then somebody say, will that lead me to offering everything I own? I wouldn't mind, but no, I'm just kidding. No, it is to create generosity in your minds. So you offer a mandala to your teacher. Dato Mei, the president of our center, represents all of us. Where is she? Oh, there she is. I didn't see her because, you know, she's very tall. Anyways, she represented all of us that says, Rinpoche, turn the wheel of Dharma, so I offer your supreme mandala. On here contains everything beautiful, wonderful in the universe. Please turn the wheel of Dharma. Why do you offer mandala? In order to create the merits to receive the Dharma. That's number one. Number two, you offer a Buddha's body to the Lama. So the procedure is you take the Buddha's body, you touch it to your forehead, facing you, you turn it around, offer it to your teacher. What are you offering? May I, through listening to your teachings, achieve the body of a Buddha. And may I and all sentient beings have long life. And my teacher have long life, health, and excellence. And may all of us have it. So when you offer the body of a Buddha to your teacher, you are requesting your teacher to live long, have health, and don't pass away. And you're asking him to bless you to also have the same. So you offer up to your teacher. Cool. The next one you offer is song or teachings. The next one is any Dharma text. This is a Tibetan Dharma text. Some of you may know what it is. Some of you may not know. Some of you may think it looks like a shoebox. Let me just open and show you. Because some of you look very, very advanced. You'll get used to my humor after a while, I promise. They all do. This is a Dharma text. And it's very holy. It's the written words of the Buddha. And it's recited and meditated by the monks and lay people. All right? It's very, very holy. Look at that. It's carved by hand and printed out by hand. So this is a beautiful sutra by the Buddha. When you offer this to your guru, you know what you're doing. May I achieve the complete teachings of the Buddha. So when I offer teachings to you, my guru, it doesn't mean that you don't know what's written. It means may you elucidate the Buddha's teachings to me. Please teach me the Dharma. And all the ugly things I said with my mouth, all the curse, all the selfish words, all the lies, all the bad things I said with my mouth that hurt so many people, by offering this, may that sin go away and may it not suffer that sin. That's what you're offering. Then when the teacher receives this from you, the teacher will make a mudra of giving a Dharma teaching and recite some words of Dharma teaching. That means that by your request, may this student, may this group always receive the Dharma in this life and all future lives. May they never be separated from the holy Dharma. That's the meaning. All right? That's number two. Number three, what you're offering up is kusung, tuk, the mind of a Buddha. The stupa represents the mind of a Buddha, the fully enlightened qualities of a Buddha. So when you offer the mind of a Buddha up, you are saying, may I achieve the mind of a Buddha. May I receive the teaching so that I can have the mind of a Buddha, and may I never be separated from the mind of a Buddha. May I become a Buddha. You offer this up. So you touch it to your forehead, respect, and you offer it to your teacher with two hands. And when your teacher takes it, the teacher will do a prayer and say, may this student become a fully enlightened Buddha and be never be separated from the mind of the Buddha, and may the student's negative thoughts be eliminated, and may they always have positive thoughts that bring them happiness. The teacher will pray like that, and then touch it and receive it. After that's done, then the student will lastly offer a kata. Okay? A kata can be white or blue or yellow or any color. When the student offers a kata to the teacher, this is saying, with my white, sincere heart, please offer me the Dharma teaching. After you've offered up a kata to the teacher, then, during the Dharma talk, You sit with respect. You sit controlling your body, speech, and mind. You don't stretch your limbs. You don't sit with your hands folded like that in front of a CEO. Although you don't have to sit like this, you know. Like some people. I won't point any fingers at a pink lady. You know, you don't have to be a fanatic. You don't have to sit there the whole time like, you know, like, oh, Buddha spoke. I'm not a Buddha, I'm just a fat guy in robes. It's not that funny. So you offer this, after you offer this teacher, what you're saying to the teacher? In order to receive the teachings, I will be humble. So you sit in a proper manner. You sit respectfully. You don't sit there falling asleep, rubbing your limbs. I mean, you know, you go for Dharma teaching in front of your teacher, you don't sit there like this, you know. I mean, isn't that kind of weird, right? You don't sit in front of your teacher, you know, like this. I mean, you want to take a nap? Go home, lah. Right? After you offer all this, you offer the universe, then you sit there. Is that kind of funny? I'm not putting anyone down. So after you offer the whole universe, you know, remember, we offer the universe, all the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, gold, jewels, everything we offer to our teacher. We offer him the Buddha. We offer him the Dharma. We offer him the Sangha. And after we're done, I mean, what's with the big offering? So, of course, if we're new in Dharma, we can't all sit in a yoga position like me, you know, perfectly balanced. Because, you know, a lot of your chakras are not aligned. Some of you are missing chakras or have an extra. So, of course, you all can't sit there perfectly, meditatively, you know, and with your posture straight and with your legs crossed and in meditative concentration like me. Of course, you can't immediately. Maybe next week. But not immediately. The point is to be aware. It's to be aware. If your leg is killing you and half hour into the teaching you can't feel it anymore and it feels like you need amputation, you stretch your legs out. That's not disrespectful. You're not being disrespectful. Your legs are going off. Right? So you have to be practical. You have to be practical. So after you offer the teachings like that, and ladies, you don't come to your guru or in front of monks and in front of your teacher wearing half a meter of clothing. I mean, you know, you don't walk in front of your teacher, you don't go to a spiritual place, you don't walk into a holy place where you're wearing, you know, they're saying, nice underwear, that's my shorts, oh. And then you're wearing this one and all your flesh is showing. It's not that it will disturb the teacher, it might distract the students. So you're just a little respectful to people, it's nothing bad. And for in our group, the men also shouldn't wear that too, because there are some interesting people. We've got all kinds of people here. So in our group, men and women shouldn't wear 1 meter, you know, one little. Wear something comfortable and fresh and nice. Why? It's not that you should hide your body or you're bad or you shouldn't expose. It's not that. When you come, just use your mind to focus. And also, if you come for teaching, something comfortable, nice. You know, the men don't have to come in black tie, tuxedo, top hat. And then you walk in with flowing gowns. You don't have to. Comfortable and nice. Nothing too much, nothing. You see, if you come to the temple all exposed and your body exposed, it's not bad karma. You can't tempt Buddha. Vajragini's already naked. She's not going to tempt her. She's going to look at you and say, my body's better than yours. Tsongkhapa, he's not going to look at you and say, ooh, nice. He's going to say, oh, I had it, done it, I'm enlightened. Setha might get a little angry, though. He's always angry. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. So it's not bad karma. It's not bad karma. It's just concentration. All right? So, and then when you come for teachings, if you're 150 years old, you sit on the chairs. If you're below 150, you sit in front and be comfortable. Oh, this lady got the right. Don't be in that. Stretch your spine. Nice gray socks. Does everybody understand? So that's what this is. And since a lot of you are new, I thought I'd explain the preliminaries. After you request for teachings, in that way, then you listen and you absorb. And when you request for teachings, more important than the clothing, more important than the procedure, more important than all of this stuff, more important is when you go leave these premises, you go and practice. Okay. You may say, hey, I'm not really a committed Buddhist. doesn't matter. If what I say makes sense, if you apply in your life, it makes a change, that's all you want. Whether you run around calling yourself, oh, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Gelugpa, I'm Temurimchi's follower, or I'm a free thinker, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know why? When we all die, and they kind of cremate us, and they kind of throw us all over, we're all mixed up together anyway. Nobody knows who anybody is. It doesn't really matter. Buddhism is not so stuck on labels. Oh, you have to convert. You have to be a Buddhist. You are a Buddhist. Oh, you accept the Buddha, you are saved. You're not saved. You can accept anything you want. If you don't change, you're not saved. You are not saved. Okay? What saves you is not accepting or not accepting. What saves you is if you transform. You know what you should do? After you leave today, this is my humble advice to all of you. When you leave here today, we should have instant transformation. You know how? Please examine into yourself and see all the things that you have been doing that you're a little ashamed of, that you're a little embarrassed of. All of us have it, me, everyone. Am I saying that, you know, you're a sinner, you're bad? No. I'm just saying that we make mistakes, we're human. So we should examine into ourselves and think what we have been doing that we might be a little ashamed of and rectify it immediately. Maybe it was a promise we made and we didn't fulfill. Maybe it was a child that we should have done something for, we didn't do. Maybe it was a mother or a grandmother that we should have served and helped and not think about our own self all the time and take care of them instead. Maybe it was a friend who we needed to listen to. Maybe it's someone we're angry with and we have ignored. Maybe it's someone that really got on our nerves and we don't want to deal with them. Maybe we made a commitment to our guru and we broke the commitment. Maybe we borrowed something and we didn't give back. Maybe we used something and we should have given back or helped. Whatever it is, it doesn't take Temurimchi to tell you all this. You see, because karma is always with you. And at the time of death, all the karma catches up. So don't hide within your busyness, your busy life, your busy schedules, your work, your family. Don't hide behind that and distract and procrastinate and pretend it doesn't exist, because mountains can be destroyed, great trees can burn down, the ocean can dry up, but the Buddha can never be wrong. So we shouldn't procrastinate or hide or stay away or avoid this thought that we have. And we should transform.